Good evening to you, friends. Good evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is wonderful to be with you all this evening. Reece Kelly is my name. I'm one of the assistant ministers here at this church. Friends, before I bring the message before us today, can I pray for us? So let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And Father, tonight, would you place in us a sense of wonder and renew our hope in the gospel story as we look at King Jesus who was born on Christmas Day. We pray this for our sake and for your glory. Amen. Well, friends, we're 45 minutes away from Christmas. Can you believe it? I'm going to say that again. We're 45 minutes away from Christmas Day. Everyone take a breath. It's okay. You've made it this far. I hope you haven't forgotten anyone's present. And hasn't it just been such a busy period over the last few weeks? If you were fortunate to get your Christmas shopping done early, well done to you. But if you weren't fortunate enough, well, now I know many of you in this room are responsible for the madness that's been happening over the last few weeks in the shopping centres. But now we're just 45 minutes away. We're 45 minutes away from the long-awaited Christmas Day, and isn't that just so exciting? Well, friends, Sarah has read two readings for us tonight. One is from Micah chapter 5, and the other is from Matthew 2, and I'm going to speak to both of those for us tonight, and I'm going to start with Micah. Now, friends, the prophet Micah, he wrote to God's people at a time when there was affliction. God's people were being threatened by nations on every side, and as Sarah beautifully read for us, Micah chapter 5 verse 1 says this: "Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod." So God's people had great affliction. There was pressure from enemies on every side. And what does Micah start off by saying to them? He doesn't start off very happy, does he? He says things aren't going to get better for Israel. He says, "Gather your troops, there is siege at the door, and they will strike your cheek." Micah brings out this revelation that Israel doesn't have a good few hundred years coming. They'll actually be afflicted so close and so deep that they'll actually be hit. But of course, Sarah didn't stop reading, did she? And Micah 5 continues. The story doesn't finish there. In a time where God's people are told and it is prophesied that they will suffer affliction, what does Micah's message bring? It brings hope. So Micah brings this prophecy and he brings hope to God's people. And this hope is that there will be a long-awaited Messiah, one who is promised will save Israel from sin. So if we keep reading Micah 5, we see verse 2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel." Verse 4, "He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth." And verse 5, Micah prophesies, "He will be their peace." Now, friends, we're gathered here tonight, and of course, as we await for Christmas Day to come, we can read these words and we know who the Messiah is, don't we? We know who the long-awaited promised Messiah is. The promised Messiah that God's people have longed for, the one who would bring hope, the one who would rule and reign and lead his people to victory is, of course, Jesus Christ. And so I want to look at Jesus' birth story with us together now. So Matthew 2 was also read out for us tonight. And if you've got your Bibles there, I would encourage you to open them there to the Gospel of Matthew. It's the very first page in the New Testament, not too hard to find. And we saw there, as it was read for us, the visit of wise men to Herod. And these wise men were looking for a promised king. And And tonight I want to flesh out two responses that we see that were read out to us from Matthew chapter 2. There are two responses happening from this passage. There is one from the wise men. They give a certain response about Jesus' birth. And the other is from the chief priests and teachers of the law. And we find these in Matthew 2. So here's the first response. This response comes from the wise men. So we don't know much about the wise men. We only know that they travel far from the east and they are searching for a king. They've seen signs in the stars and they know that there is a long-awaited promised Messiah that they are searching for. And on a side note, they also had a cool name other than wise men. They were called Magi. So Magi from the east, they come looking for the one who has been born King of the Jews. Their study of the stars had led them to believe that a great leader had been born out of the nation of Israel. And so naturally, when they hear that a born leader has come to save Israel, they go to Israel's capital. They head to Jerusalem and they look for him. And so the wise men come to Jerusalem, they see King Herod, and they ask him a question. They say, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" Now friends, don't let that just let this wash over you for a second. I want us to take note of what they ask Herod here. I'm going to say this again. They don't say, "Where is the baby who is going to be king eventually when he grows up?" No. What they say is, "Where is the one who has been born king?" In referencing who they're looking for, you can see what's happening here. The wise men aren't asking who Jesus is or whether Jesus is the promised Messiah. They know. They are in search of the king, and they come to King Herod and they say to him, "Where is the new king?" They don't say, "Where is the one who might be king?" They say, "Where is the new king?" There was no doubt for them who they were looking for. This teaches us here tonight, I believe, that Jesus is not just a mere baby. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is the royal king who has been promised. And so this is the first thing I want us to take notice of tonight. The wise men understand that what they've seen in the stars, what the stars have pointed them to is a birth a long way away from them. And that is no small affair. It is the Messiah, prophesied long ago, come to save and rescue God's people from sin, from oppressive rule. And this sighting that they see in the stars, it has such a huge effect. Don't let this get away from you. The sighting they see in the stars has such a big effect that they literally put their lives on hold to search for more answers. They put everything they're doing on hold to find out more. So Jesus' birth has such implications. And think about this. The wise men hadn't even met Jesus yet, but they knew. It has such big implications that the wise men stop what they're doing as they travel a long way to worship the newborn king. So that's the first response I want us to see from the wise men. The second one is from the chief priests and teachers in the law. Now, the chief priests and teachers of the law, these were Jews. These were people who were supposed to know the scriptures. They're well versed in their Bible. Now King Herod, as king of Jerusalem, hears that there's another born king. And of course, King Herod is the king. And so he's naturally concerned once he hears that, you know, there could be another king on the scene. And so what does Herod do? Verse 4 of Matthew 2. King Herod calls together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. So he draws in all of the of Israel's great minds, great thinkers, the people who know their Bibles. And he asks them a very simple question. He says to them, hypothetically, if the Messiah were to be born, do you know where it would be? Now think about this with me. These people that Herod brings in, they're all Jewish leaders, they're all teachers of the time, they all come together, and Herod asks them where Christ the Messiah would be born. Now verse 5 tells us the chief priests and the teachers respond to Herod's question straight away, immediately. They know straight off the top of their head. Herod asks, where's the Messiah to be born? And the chief priests and teachers, they respond immediately. Oh, we know, Bethlehem. And then the chief priests and the teachers continue. This is what the prophet has written, they say. And they quote Micah 5, which was read to us out before. They say, Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. This comes straight from the Bible, straight from Micah 5, verse 2. So the chief priests and the teachers of the law, these are the ones who are schooled in the Bible. These are the ones who know their stuff. And when they're called together by Herod and Herod asks them this question, surely they would have known the whispers that there could be a promised Messiah born king. And what do? They choose to ignore it completely. See, God's people were not ignorant to the fact that a Messiah had been prophesied. They knew this. This is what they were waiting for. That's the reason Micah prophesied to them. He said to them, you will be in trouble, but there will be one out of Bethlehem who will come to save you. This is what they were waiting for. They had suffering and persecution in their history. They were waiting for a Micah 5 figure to be born out of Bethlehem to come and save them. They hear, theoretically, there could be a Messiah in the area, the promised King of Kings and Lord of Lords born in Bethlehem. They hear the news, and what do? Nothing. They don't do anything. They don't even go to see for themselves. Bethlehem is only some 5 miles away from Jerusalem. They don't even go to see for themselves. They heard the report and they do nothing. So friends, here's why these two responses from the wise men and the chief priests are significant for us right here, right now. Just as the wise men and chief priests and teachers had two different responses on the very first Christmas morning, we too, at Christmas Eve, here and now, can have two different responses to Jesus in our lives. So friends, the question for us is, how will you respond to the promised Messiah? He is King. There are two choices. So friends, here's the first choice. The first choice is that we can respond like the wise men responded. There's nothing particularly wise about the wise men, but what is so crucial for us to see is that they heard that the Messiah had come, and hearing was enough. They followed. They followed what they saw. They sought him out wholeheartedly. They put everything that they were doing on hold. Their whole lives on hold until they could know more about Jesus. They don't stop searching until they find Jesus. And the rest of Matthew 2, if you just went just a couple of verses more, we find out they find Jesus and they rejoice. They rejoice and they worship him. The wise men, they don't stop searching until they find Jesus. And when they find him, they fall down at his feet and worship him. So that's the first choice. We respond like the wise men. The second choice, of course, is that we can respond the same way that the chief priests and teachers of the law did. They heard the signs, they heard the news, they heard the whispers, and they did nothing. Their lives didn't change. The promised Messiah, the one who will save people from sin, came, and they didn't even bother to find out for themselves. So friends, this Christmas I plead with you to take the first choice. Be like the wise men. Seek Jesus. Jesus, the one who is the promised Messiah. Jesus is the one who brings hope. Jesus, the one who was born in a stable. Jesus, the one who lived a perfect life. Jesus, the one who suffered death because of sin that you and I have done. Jesus, the one who took the punishment that you and I deserve. This Jesus, this Messiah, He is the one who rose from dead. He is the one who conquered Satan, sin, and death. He is the one that we celebrate on Christmas Day. Friends, this is the most wonderful news in the world that you and I could ever hear. That Jesus, King Jesus, this baby, he grew up to take our sin. And so friends, tonight I plead with you. Don't let small and big things in your life distract you from him. Seek him. Worship him. Follow him. Stop what you're doing and worship him. Not just at Christmas, although this is the perfect opportunity, but in every area of our lives, in every day, we need to trust in Jesus. Because Jesus is the promised Messiah. Because there is nothing more certain that you can place your hope on than in him. Don't let Jesus go. On the cusp of Christmas Day, as we stop and as we consider the newborn King right now, remember, it is not enough just to see the signs and hear the whispers like the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Jesus calls us to change our hearts, to change our lives, to follow him. Christ calls us to stop what we're doing and to seek him and find him with our whole hearts. So friends, let's put our trust in him. It'll change your life. Let me pray for us. King Jesus, I thank you that we can come together tonight to celebrate your birth on Christmas Day. And as we've gathered here tonight, would you stir in us a heart that longs and loves you? Would you renew us? Would you give us a desperate and passionate desire to serve and follow you with everything we have for all of our days? Father, would you change us so that we would be gripped like the wise men were to seek you with all our being and worship you with all that we are and have? Father, work in our hearts and fill us with adoration and worship now and always. We pray this for our sake and for your glory. Amen.